Find out what you like doing best and get someone to pay you for doing it by Catherine Whitehorn. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Expert Dale podcast to fulfill your mind with the virtues of life. I'm your host, Umang Panchal, inviting you to join us at Expert Dale podcast, where we meet some enormous personalities from the world and listen them to learn from their stories. Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for delivering your lots of love and respect for the Expert Dale podcast. And those who are new to the Expert Dale podcast, please follow and subscribe so you will not miss any single update from my side. So now let's start episode number of the 8 of the Expert Dale podcast. And today we have a very interesting topic, and the person is the most versatile person that I have ever met in my life. So let's talk something about him that... He started his career and he graduated from the Rice University with his PhD in psychology. And then he started his career at the most amazing, most sensational and most desperate place ever in the world called Silicon Valley. He joined a very renowned company named as IBM. And then he joined another multi-billion dollar company called Apple Computers as a senior software designer. Then after he became the director of the eBay and his career hyped up and he became the vice president of the Yahoo Inc. Now you can consider my word most versatile and you can correlate it. But let me share something about him that after spending about 2 decades at the Silicon Valley, now he is actively working to help thousands of people by his work, by his experience, his skills and techniques, by his blog and website called Invincible Career and Brilliant Forge. I know if I will consider his whole career, it will take a long hour. But let me share something more about him that he is the person who stood among the top writers in the column of leadership in one of the best magazine called Medium Magazines. And now I know that this one is the most longest ever introduction that I have ever made in my life. But I know that though I have missed lots of information, lots of updates, lots of activities and achievements from his life. So with honor and regards, I would like to invite our today's guest, Dr. Larry Cornett.
Oh, thanks for having me and thanks for the kind introduction. That was very nice of you.
Thank you so much, Larry. And I'm really happy to start this podcast. And what the another thing that I want to say to the people is like, today we will learn most of the things that is about the career, the most important thing in our life, because we are spending most of the time on it. And now we will learn some of the things like a toxic work culture, how, when, and where we can make some risky and some hard decision in our life, in specifically in our career. And now here we have a Dr. Larry Cornett with us. We can guide us and help us to learn something more inside in it. So Dr. Larry, I have one important thing in my mind that everything in life is all about to start, to think about how can we start this career. And I found the people who have applied their career, I can say the job, for thousands of companies, and then they get some of like 2 or 3 job offer letter from them. Now, I feel this is the wastage of time. This is wastage of energy, skills, and power that he developed throughout their educational life. So if this one is not the correct method, this one is not the correct way to get the dream job, then what is the method by which one can achieve his dream job and also the mindset to achieve the right one?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think a lot of people do take that approach where they apply to hundreds or thousands of jobs and they use the online systems to, you know, submit an application or resume, and they're hoping that that volume will pay off in some way. And the problem is that if you look at companies like a Google, for example, they're receiving thousands of resumes a day.
Yep.
And trying to stand out in that system when you're just one of several thousand people is really hard. So I come at it from two different approaches. One is start from a much shorter list of the companies that you think are best for your next career move. So instead of saying, oh, I'm going to apply it to dozens or hundreds or thousands of companies, get it down to a list of five and say, what are the top five companies that I think would be the best move for my career, the smartest thing for me to do next? And who do I know that can introduce me to somebody in that company? Because okay. It is all about the network. It is all about the warm introductions. That's how I got started. I was lucky enough that my advisor had a graduate student that was working at IBM. And so he was able to make a warm introduction for me and said, hey, I have one of my students here. He'd be interested in an internship at IBM. Could you introduce him to the manager and get him an internship at IBM? And so that was absolutely the best way to do it. And that has been true for every job I've had in my career, is I knew somebody in the company, or I knew somebody who was a friend of someone in the company, and they made an introduction. And that warm introduction gets you past all of the systems that are, they're intended to filter you out. And that's kind of the reality of the way the systems are structured, is they build these ATS applicant tracking systems that look for keyword matches between your resume and the job description. They look at all kinds of things. And if, you know, say for example, they want 5 years of experience and you have 4.5, they're like, nope, not qualified. You might actually be a fantastic candidate, but they don't get a chance to talk to you and find out. If you had an inside champion, somebody who can make an introduction, they could say, yeah, I know this person only has 4.5 years of experience, but they're amazing. They'd be a really smart person for you to hire. So I always tell people, start from a short list of companies that are most interesting, most valuable for your next move. Find out a way to get introduced. And on the other side, start with your network. So you start with the people that you know, the people who already know how good you are. They know how smart you are, how hard you work, how ambitious you are. Start with them and start activating your network. And that can be your professors if you're still in school, advisors. If you're in the working world, it's people you've worked with before. It's your bosses you've had before. And you say, hey, I'm looking for my next career move. This is what I'm looking for. If you know of anything, could you let me know? And the more you do that, it's like a spreading activation network. The more nodes light up in the network, and sooner or later, you got people calling you saying, hey, I heard you were looking. Here's a job that I think you would love. Mm-hmm. So you're working it from both sides, but the best way to think of it is your network is really your most valuable resource.
Okay. So what is one of the important things is to get a correct network, the right appropriate person, and to get a champion inside the company where you actually want to go there.
Absolutely.
Wow. And this is really amazing. And I experienced that because when I came in the United States, I do not know any company personally. I know only my seniors who have already selected around the world, allowed the company. And then I contacted them and I got my job. And that's wonderful.
Absolutely. That's really wonderful. Yeah. You use the technique. Fantastic.
Wow. Thank you so much. And one of the important thing I have heard from your blog even, and it's called as the personal branding. So what does it mean? And one of the most important thing with people around us, they have lots of people who say the personal branding is only to put your resume or to update your profile on the LinkedIn. But I think it's far more beyond than that. So if it is something different, so please, can you let me know about it, what it is and how can I do it?
Yeah. So I think there is distinction between what people call personal branding, which I think is what you see with a lot of social media influencers, and professional branding. And so I know some people are turned off by the idea of personal branding. And what I like to set straight is, like, don't think of it as personal branding. Think of it as professional branding. And it's essentially your professional reputation. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of split the difference between your personal life and what you do and what you care about and your professional ambition. And the whole idea is to get very clear about what is central to you. What are your core values? What do you believe in? What do you stand for? What is your core expertise? So what is your knowledge, your skills, your experience? And how do you want to package that up and be very consistent with the way you talk about that online? And so it's not just LinkedIn, as you said. It's not just your resume. Yeah. I tell people, think of yourself like a product. You know, I refer to the product of you. And just like you would market and advertise and talk about what is so special about this product, why would I buy it instead of another product? Why would I buy a Tesla instead of a Ford? right? Okay. There's going to be all kinds of value proposition, things that resonate with the buyer. You are a product. And when an employer hires you, they're buying a product. And so you have to be absolutely clear about, well, what is my value proposition? How can I describe it in one sentence? So just like a brand does, how would you describe yourself in one sentence? And the key is, do not use a job title in a company. Mm-hmm. Too many people do that. Like, well, who are you? What do you do? Oh, I'm a senior designer at Facebook. It's like, what happens when you don't work at Facebook anymore? What are you now? Right?
Amazing.
So don't talk about yourself that way. Talk about who you are, what you care about, the value you bring, the things that you care about, and then be very consistent. So it is LinkedIn. It is your resume. It's also your Twitter bio. It's your Facebook profile. It's your personal blog. It's your Medium. You know, whatever you're using, have a very consistent approach to the profile photo that you use so people recognize you everywhere they see you. Yeah. The bio, so it's the 2 to 3 sentences. And Twitter's a good place to start because it's really restrictive, right? So start with Twitter and create that tight bio that says, here's who I am, what I do, the problem that I solve, the people I care about. And then start to be very consistent with how you talk about that problem everywhere. So the way you think about it, the way you solve problems in that space, articles that you think are relevant about it, share that everywhere, get into the conversations with other people in the space so they know who you are and what you stand for and what you're really good at doing, and they know how you think. And so the more you do this consistently everywhere, people start to think of you that way. I can think of a guy in particular who he talks about remote work all the time. I mean, he tweets about it probably 100 times a day.
He's 100 times.
Easily. It's like, and he's an absolute expert at remote work. He's the founder of a company that helps onboard remote employees. And so when I think of remote work, I think of him. His name now means remote work to me. So that's his professional brand. And if somebody said, who should I talk to about how to best onboard my remote employees? I'd be like, I know who you should talk to because he talks about it all the time. So that is the whole idea of building a professional brand.
I can understand. And it's really important when you talk about it, when you talk a certain point of on your social media, on your LinkedIn, on your Twitter, the people get recognized the way you are talking, the way you are understanding the issue or any of the situation like you have said about the things. And it's amazing that you have said to start with Twitter, go ahead with the different other social media medium and blogs, and you can make your own identity, your own values.
Exactly. Wow. Absolutely.
This is amazing. And Dr. Cornett, I have also this a single question is, and I have heard this 100 times that after getting job, what should I have to do that I can get my first promotion as early as possible, as soon as possible? And if I discretize this question in a different section, so for the beginner, for the people at the middle of their career, and the people who are at the expertise of a technical and managerial skills, so how we differentiate and how can we do that?
Right. You know, I'd say when you're early in your career, what you want to be known for is being reliable. I mean, it really is so much about being reliable. I remember when I was first getting started and no one expected me to be an expert yet. You know, I was brand new to design. I was working at IBM and even at Apple. And they said, as long as you're reliable, you're consistent, I can count on you. You get work done with high quality and people like working with you, you will get ahead. I mean, it's really about in the early stages of your career of just doing great work and knowing you can be counted on more than anything. No one expects you to be the super expert in anything yet. So that comes with time. The other thing I think that was really useful for me is that I started building my network even in those days with the people at IBM and at Apple. And that was like, I mean, I was at IBM back in 1993. So long time
ago. Long back.
I'm still friends with those people. Wow. And that network, like somebody I knew from those days hired me recently to come in and coach some of his employees. Wow. That's the power of the network. And it would not have happened if he had not known me. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I started building that network with my peers and starting to get to know each other. And I think it's those relationships you build in the trenches where you all are working really hard together. You're all advancing in your career. those people stay with you for the rest of your career. It's really kind of your inner circle. Absolutely powerful, absolutely useful. So I'd say that's at the beginning of your career. In the middle stages, it's a little bit different. Now people are expecting that you're starting to become an expert in a specific area.
Okay.
And so you are becoming a bit of a domain expert at, let's say, mobile design, mobile app design, game design, something. It isn't like you have to specialize in lockdown forever, but it does help to start creating that depth of knowledge. So it's beyond the basics of your profession. Like people, as a designer, it's like, I certainly hope you know how to use the tools. Like you should be familiar with using Figma, Illustrator, whatever it is your tool is. That's kind of an assumed. What they want next then is like, well, what is your area of expertise? Okay. Are you really good at e-commerce? Are you really good at game design? Are you more of a consumer person or an enterprise person? Where is your depth of experience so that when something comes up, now they can say, oh, you've got 5 years of e-commerce experience. We're trying to solve this problem. You're somebody that we'd like to bring on board. And then I would say that your network now starts to change a little bit, because when you're younger and just getting started out, a lot of your peers are this people who are kind of at the same level and often the same profession. Like a big part of my network was other designers, which was fine at that point. As you're moving up in your career, you should start building relationships with other groups. So you should start being friends with engineers and product managers and marketing people and salespeople, and starting to move up into the higher levels. And so starting to get to know other senior leaders in the company and not being afraid of building those relationships, because that's what's going to carry you to another company. Is I have a good relationship with these leaders. They leave the company, they go found a new startup, they call you. They're like, hey, you did great work on that project. Would you come over here and do it? I had people do that when I went to a startup. They knew me at Apple and they said, hey, they just called me up and they said, we have a startup. It's about 50 people. Love the work that you did over there. Would you come over and work with us?
Wow.
And so it was really, again, it's that network, but it was because I had built those relationships. And I'd say at the more senior levels, it starts to change.
Yeah.
I think it's much more about how much more work you can get done in collaboration with others. So it becomes less about what you individually achieve and more about how you make the whole team successful.
Yep.
Are you coaching people? Are you mentoring people? You know, it's really about, it's about the dynamics of the relationship and you getting more done than a single person can do.
I understand that. And it's a wonderful thing. And I have also seen your one of your talk with the a designer of the Mint Mobile, that he is in your connections. And that talk was really phenomenal. And I got very enormous lessons even from there. And the thing you have said, for a beginner to work considerably, for the middle of the age, you need to have some of the experience and you have expertise so that the person who is hiring you understand that you can solve the particular problem that is happening inside that organization. And then after, as an expert, you should have a vast amount of people around you. So you know, by your guidance, the people can work for you and you can make up more challenging things very easily and quickly.
Right, exactly.
Wow, this is awesome. And another important question that may be related to the many of the people. So when you started the work and at the workplace, many of the people are like that. They have a good communication with their boss. And that's why they can get more opportunities than the people who is really highly talented. Even they have more skills, but he didn't get the work because of the communication problem. So do you think that we need to become an extrovert, or there are any other ways to get more opportunity and more rewards from the employer?
Right. Yeah. it's a common problem. Yeah. And I had the same issue. I'm an introvert. And I would kind of put my head down and did the work and just thought, my manager must know what I'm doing. Right.
Okay.
I mean, they know what I'm doing. They know what I'm working on. It's good work. People are happy with it. So I should get promoted. Right. It should just happen. And the thing that I found out, I think the hard way, is I had a conversation, this was during a review cycle, and he wrote like an initial draft of the performance review and said, okay, take a look at this, see what you think. So I took a look and I was like, this is only like 60% of the stuff I'm working on. It's like he had no idea how much I was working on. And I
got you.
you know, part of that was my problem, that I don't think I was communicating well enough. Some of it was his problem as a manager, because he should have been talking with me about that too, right?
Okay.
But it was a wake-up call for me where I said, yeah, I need to communicate better with my manager on a weekly basis and just create a quick update. And it could be an email too. So it's like, I'm going to document in every single week just a bulleted list of all the things that I've been doing. The meetings I've been having, the projects I've been working on, the things that we've solved. And when we have a meeting, I'm going to say, I'm going to quickly update you on what I've been doing this week. And maybe there's an issue or two I want to raise and get your advice and try to understand that. And then I can finish up with saying, well, here's what I'm going to be doing next week. What do you think? So I think the key thing was, I don't necessarily have to be best friends with my boss to get ahead. I don't have to do the things that used to make me uncomfortable. It's like, you know, I don't want to be the person that's kind of flattering the boss and trying to go to lunch with the boss. That's not my personality, but I do want to give them a clear update of everything I'm working on and engage with them at the right level to get feedback so that they know what I'm doing more than anything. So I think that that helps. And as you know, I talk a lot about promoting yourself through writing. It could be podcasting. It could be talks. I think talks are incredible.
Yeah.
I think it depends on your level of comfort. I do recommend, I think it's a career limiting move to not be comfortable with public speaking. And I think this is going to come back for everybody to bite them at some point. So I think if you want people to be to be aware of who you are, what you're really good at doing, and it has to extend beyond even the walls of the company, you're going to have to get comfortable with public speaking, being on a panel, speaking at a conference, whatever it might be. It's really hard. But when I did that, it really accelerated my career. It really did. And so I'm going to say that if you don't do that, you're going to have a hard time beyond a certain point. But the easiest way to get started as an introvert, if you're kind of quiet, is through writing. So I would say documenting like what you're really good at, what your problems you've solved, and sharing that through something like Medium, which is super easy to do. But it's like, you know, here's how I built a team to solve this problem. Or here's how we overcame this consumer problem with, we were losing people in a checkout conversion. Here's the approach we took. Here's how we did that. That starts to get people aware of who you are and what you're capable of doing. And you can even do that within the company. But it's a little easier if you're shy just to write something and publish it.
Wow. This is awesome idea. And I can understand that when you do not have any ability to talk with a person, write something, and you can write it. You do not have to conversation with any single person at that time. And that is the way by which you are showing your work. Actually, what you are doing, it's not a 60%, as you have said, it's not a 60%. It's you are 100%, maybe sometime 110% that you are doing. Right. Show them. I understand it. And personally, I also believe that I am an introvert person. When I started my career, I think that I'm doing, that's enough for me, because everybody should have to notice, but it doesn't mean always at the same time that person will get you noticed. You sometime have to approach them. And this is a phenomenal thing. Now, I was doing my project, and while working on it, I was a leader. And as a leader, I have faced lots of difficulties, like a team chaos, like polarization of the team, and sometimes it's like a distraction. And it was anxious. It made me anxious to think about all the time. And sometimes it ruined my life at the moment, at the instance. So the thing is, when can I get the knowledge, or what kind of knowledge that I have to keep in my mind to make my leadership skills better and profound?
Yes, this is it's a big challenge. And I'd say one of the biggest mistakes that people make is to think they have to solve it on their own. And I think too many of us wait too long to start to build a relationship with someone who can mentor us and guide us. And that doesn't have to be your boss. So I think if you pay attention at your company where you work, and you notice someone that's really good at this. So it could be somebody who's really good at meeting management, for example, when things are getting out of control and they bring it back on track. Or they're really good at taking a project through the whole life cycle and keeping things from kind of falling apart in chaos, as you said. Whatever it might be, pay attention to the people at the company who are really talented at specific things that you might be struggling with, and reach out to them. You know, set up a Zoom chat, like a coffee chat, and say, hey, would you mind spending 30 minutes with me? I'm having some challenges with this project. I noticed that you're really good at managing that. I'd love your advice. I think it's a great way for younger people, especially, to learn from somebody who's been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years, mm-hmm. get their advice, share what's going on, say, here's the scenario, here's what I'm struggling with. What do you think I'm doing wrong? Or what do you think I could do to solve this problem? Okay. And you'll learn from somebody who's been doing it for 10, 15 years, rather than trying to struggle with it yourself and get through it. But I think that's one of the best things you can do is ask somebody to mentor you, ask somebody for advice mm-hmm. on specific things that you might be struggling with.
Okay. Okay. And what are the specific things that I need to, after getting knowledge from it? So how can I improve that leadership skills inside me? That one of the thing is the public communication that you have seen.
Yes.
What are the other aspects you think about it?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think there is a difference between leadership and management. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes people get too confused and they think, oh, you're a manager, now you're a leader. Well, not necessarily. So okay. I think one of the key differences is that a leader inspires. Mm-hmm. And that's really important that you have to find a way to communicate what is the vision, what is the mission, why is it important? Why should the person you're working with, or your employee or whoever it is, why should they care?
Okay.
How can you tie that mission and that vision to the work that they do so that they can see what it is that they're doing and why it's so important? Because sometimes as an employee who's deep in the company, it's hard to understand why what you're doing every day matters. Mm-hmm. And you can just start to say, oh, it's a paycheck. You know, I do the work and I get paid. Okay. But I don't understand how it makes a difference. I don't understand why it matters. I think the best leaders connect the dots. So that someone can see directly, this is what you're doing and here's why it matters. Here's why you make a difference. Here's why you doing this is going to help you too. Because part of inspiring and motivating people is to show this is what you should care about, why the company matters, who we're solving the problem for our customers. But I also understand that you want to grow too. Mm-hmm. And here's how working on this project and getting feedback from me and me giving you advice is going to help you grow in your career. So that you can continue to feel like this is a good place for you to be. So I think it is striking that balance of, I understand that you're a human being that has ambition and you want to achieve things. There are things that the company needs. I want you to see why that's inspiring and why it matters. I want you to see why doing this is good for the company, but it's good for you too.
That's really wonderful. When you inspire others, it will automatically make a huge impact, a positive impact on the person that in front of you. And then you can guide him. You can get knowledge from him as well as you can share your knowledge to him. In that way, you can get the leadership. Oh, wow. This is something new that I have learned right now. It's awesome. And the next question, if I want to ask you, Doctor, so I don't know, but I'm sure about this point, because at certain level, after doing certain period of time in our job, it will become a monotonous that whatever you are doing programming for certain things, for certain application, or you are in the manufacturing field, like me, to do something at the day by day, it will become eventually a monotonous and it will become a more laborious than the creative. I feel that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, you will become the part of the company and you will just follow the norms. You cannot apply the creativity, or I can say you do not have the time to apply for the creativity. So it sounds really weird for me. So do you think any other ideas to make it interesting to work as a job for every day?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think it can reach a point where it does feel monotonous. It's like, oh, I'm doing more of the same all the time. So mm-hmm. I think part of it is always thinking about, well, what's my next move? What's my next move within the company? Is there a role that would be more exciting for me? And it could be moving into a different area to learn something new. It mm-hmm. could be moving up the career ladder to do something that's more challenging in terms of now I have more seniority and I have to solve different types of problems, whatever it might be. So I think that's one thing. You should always be thinking, what's my next move in this company? What's the next thing that I should be considering as a career opportunity that will help me grow, but also make it exciting because it's new, right? You start to do something new. The other thing is, as you get really good at what you're doing, it takes less of your kind of mental energy and time. And you're like, yeah, I could do this in my sleep almost because I'm so used to doing it, is to look for new opportunities. And this is also what gets you recognized and gets you promoted, is to say, is there some way we could be doing this better? You know, I'm doing this and we're all kind of doing it the same way, but is there a process improvement here? Can I use some of my brain power that I now have, because this has become kind of easy for me, to think about challenging that, to say, is there a better way to do this? To look for new business opportunities or new product opportunities, which your employer will absolutely value. So you're doing this, and as you're learning more, you're thinking, well, you know, here's an opportunity for us to go into a new product line or to go after a new customer we hadn't thought of before. I'm going to write up a proposal. I'm going to submit that to my manager or my manager's manager and say, hey, I was thinking about this. I think this is a way we could grow our product. We could actually have more revenue next quarter. So you're thinking always, what is bigger? What is better? Not just kind of putting your head down and doing the work, because it can get boring.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the other thing I would say is all about relationship building. So again, as you're learning more about the company, you're becoming more comfortable, start to look through the entire company and say, is there someone I could meet and learn more about what they do, or learn more about a different part of the company that, you know, before I was so, I was kind of junior and I was new to this. And so it was taking all my energy just to get my work done. But now that I'm becoming accustomed to it, I'm kind of bored with it. It's a chance for me to explore a little bit and say, I'd like to meet that chief scientist that's over in that other organization, because they're doing some cool stuff. And I wonder if I could get lunch or a coffee with that person and learn more about that part of the company. So I think it's always about learning more, trying to find new opportunities, and trying to figure out how can you grow your career, but also do something to help the company too.
That's really good idea to think about more and to grow simultaneously growth of the company, and simultaneously you want to grow in that particular industry. Then you have to understand, you need to learn every day single by single, and then you can get what you want. And it, by that way, you will not feel even monotonous sometimes.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's the good idea. And one more important thing that you have said is to meet the people, to make a group and the connections. I have another question right now, that while working with team and while creating the team, what do you think that the idea should have to keep in mind? Because when you choose your team, not for the starting point, but when you have expertise, when you choose the team, you need to select appropriate person for a particular thing. And I feel when I created my team during my college project, I understand that it's not an easy task.
Yeah.
So what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think that's also important that a lot of people aren't considering. And this is part of developing your network, but thinking about the future. And so, you know, one of the things I tell people, it's pretty common in Silicon Valley, is that everybody has a startup idea and they're all excited about starting a company someday. And I said, have you thought about your dream team? Like, who is the best backend engineer? Who's the best mobile engineer? Who's the best designer, best product manager, best salesperson? They're like, no, I haven't thought about that. And I said, you should. As you're building your network and you're meeting, as you're saying, you're meeting these people, start to take note of that person's really good at whatever. You know, I like the way they work. I like the way they think. It's been fun collaborating with them. I would love to work with that person again someday. Start to create a list of these people so that in the future, because you're not always going to necessarily be at the same company. The world's changed. We don't work at the same company for 30 or 40 years anymore.
Definitely.
That was my father's generation. Now, the longest I was anywhere was 4 years. Some people, it's like 2 years. So as you're moving into new roles and new companies and they're saying, wow, we need the best mobile engineer that we could find. Do you know anybody? You're like, I know exactly who we should get. This person's amazing. So I think that's important, is just take note of the people who are really talented. You enjoy working with them. Document all of that, start to share it. And then, and basically in the future, when you're looking to build out your team or your company's looking to hire somebody, you know exactly who you should hire.
Wow. This is the very, I can say, accurate answer. As per, I can get this answer from lots of CEO. When I went to the conference and I talked with the CEO of the Aerobotics, which is a company regarding the robotics they are sending to the Mars and Moon missions. Wow. I asked the similar question to them, because it's really important to make a team. And when you have a good team, you can progress very quickly and efficiently, I believe.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Amazing. And Dr. Larry, I interviewed Ryan Waters. He is the phenomenal mountaineer, and he chose his career by that way that he wanted to do that thing and he chose that. But he was lucky, I can say. He was lucky because he changed his career in his mid-20s. Mid-20s. But now, let's say some people is there and he want to change his career in his 30s or I can say even in his 40s. Is it possible? Or if it is possible, then how can he make it without any burden, without financial burden and depression and anxiety?
Yeah. It's always going to be challenging.
Absolutely.
It's hard to make a big decision like that without having a certain amount of stress. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I tell people is to always create, kind of, I call it a plan A through D. So mm-hmm. always be thinking, this is my plan A that I'm currently executing, my current career, what I'm doing. Plan B is a slight adjustment. It's something that's a little bit different, but it is something I can fall back to very quickly if plan A fails. And then plan C is even more radically different. And plan D is like a complete fallback. Like if all goes, you know, really badly, I'll be okay. I know that I can fall back to plan D. We'll be okay. And I'll figure out how to make my next move. And so I think it's absolutely possible. I changed careers. I was in my 40s when I left the corporate world. Wow. So I completely changed and went into being a startup advisor, left the corporate world. You know, I had a family, I had a mortgage, yeah. I had a home in California. Super scary.
Yeah, I feel so.
Part of what makes it possible, and I tell people, think about treating yourself like a business again. So it's like any business has to have cash reserves. They have to figure out what's going to happen if we have an economic downturn. So like if you're going to lose a job or change a job or decide to go into a different career, mm-hmm. you want to make sure that you've been living within your means and that you've built up a cushion, a financial cushion. Okay. So you should be very aggressive in terms of putting money into your investments, into your savings, so that you know it's like if it takes a little while for my new career to take off and start mm-hmm. providing enough income, it's okay. I've got mm-hmm. a financial cushion that lets me do that. If you've been living large and going on big vacations every month and buying really expensive cars and lots of jewelry and all that stuff, it's going to be hard because you've been living on the edge. And now it's like, I can't go a month without a paycheck. I'll lose my home. That doesn't give you very much flexibility. And so I tell people, think of it as investing in your freedom, which it is. Take all the money that you can and put it into your mm-hmm. investments and your savings. Think of that as giving yourself enough wiggle room to say, I'd like to explore a different career and not be stressed and not be anxious about that. Because I changed careers in my 40s and became a startup advisor and even did a startup. It was scary, but you know, we were able to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I changed careers radically again in my 50s. When most people be like, don't change careers in your 50s. It's like, you know, it's like, what are you thinking? But, you know, I moved, I sold my home. I bought a home in a less expensive part of California. We were very careful, downsized our life and said, let's buy ourselves some financial cushion so I could mm-hmm. start this new career. And so that's when I became a leadership coach and career advisor. And now I love it. It's going fantastically. But it was a little scary at the beginning, but I had a bit of a cushion, so I had some freedom to give it time to grow.
Wow. So you made something when you were working on your corporate world. You make some financial cushion. You know that maybe you will change your plans, and then you make that financial stuff that can help you in the buffer time between your two changes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what people don't realize, because you know, I did the consultancy, I did a startup, so we founded a startup. And when you do that, you don't take much money, right? You don't pay yourself very well because it's all about the startup. Exactly. And I started this new business. I don't think people realize it can take sometimes years, and I mean years, for your new business to start making enough money to provide for you. Exactly. So you'd better have a cushion that can get you through 1 to 2 years. And that's rare. I don't think people think of it that way, but it requires some financial planning. You have to do that if you want to be able to have that freedom.
Definitely need require financial planning. And you have said that you downsize your expenses, you downsize your living style while you want to start the new things, and then you did it and you are successful now.
Yeah. It's, I love it. I love what I'm doing right now. It's fantastic.
That's wonderful. And I believe that when you have this much of experience, 20 years, I can say 2 decades at the Silicon Valley, you help the thousands of the people and also simultaneously some of the startups. You eventually made your startup and some successfully do it, or maybe you face some of the challenges, but that challenges made a huge impact on your life. And that's what you are delivering to the people. And this is phenomenal, I think.
Oh, thank you.
So doctor, this is maybe the last question before the rapid question answer session. The question is that you have seen the ups and downs in your life and also some of the clients of that you have made, and everybody think about the financial stability, but the important thing is sometimes it's really hard to have a financial stability at a given moment of time while you're working to your 9-to-5 job. And most of the Americans, like most of the world, they are working on the 9-to-5 job. Not they are the entrepreneurs, not they have businesses. So that's why my question is for them, or for in general, I would like to say, what is the thing? How can we get the financial stability and while we are working in the 9-to-5 job, while we are not an entrepreneur? So how can we make
it? Yeah. I have a lot of friends that have 9-to-5 jobs. Mm-hmm. Now that I've moved out of Silicon Valley, a lot of my friends and the people I'm around aren't in technology. So they're not in the Silicon Valley world with stock options and all that kind of stuff. The thing that I've noticed is that most of them have kind of a side hustle. And so this is where they're working 9-to-5. They're doing their core job that's paying the bills, but they have another idea. So there's something else that they think is going to be a good business to start or a new career move. And they invest a couple of hours, even more, every night learning about it, planning.
I have a question. Yeah. Just a quick question. Though they are working at Silicon Valley, though they have a high paid job, though they are doing side hustling?
Oh, you mean in Silicon Valley? They should be. Wow. I think even the people in Silicon Valley should be, because you're only one step away from losing your job. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. Even the most successful companies. I mean, look at Uber. Uber just had a bunch of layoffs. Airbnb had a bunch of layoffs. They could not have predicted the pandemic. So that's the thing. We have no control over something like the pandemic. And any business that has a physical presence where you have to go out into the world and stay at a place like with Airbnb or go take a car ride somewhere, and people aren't doing it anymore, at least here in California, it's dramatically impacted their business. So somebody who thought, I have a great job, I'm making a ton of money, and then all of a sudden next week they're laid off through no fault of their own. They've done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. It's the impact of the pandemic. So I tell people one of the ways to have freedom and a little bit of security is to, even at that level, start to have a side hustle where you are doing some consulting, or at least you have a consulting business in mind. I tell people to constantly be, I love writing, podcasting, I think is fantastic, to start building your professional brand so people know who you are, they know what you're capable of doing, they know how smart you are, the wisdom and knowledge that you have. When I left Yahoo, I flipped into doing consulting like almost overnight. It was very easy for me to do that. I think the same thing can happen for people that either it's in Silicon Valley or it's a 9-to-5 job. If you're building up an audience that loves what you have to say, they love how you think, you can now convert that audience into an opportunity to be a second job if you lose your primary job. So you could say, well, now I'm providing advisory work for these type of customers because you've been following me for years. You've been reading my work. You love what I have to say. I offer it now as a consulting service. You can hire me.
Wow. That really sounds interesting and amazing for me to advise someone what you have already learned, and that can become your second career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because there are so many things, like even the fact that you have started this podcast, you're familiar with it. It's not easy, as you know. Yeah. There's a lot to learn about podcasting. A lot of people are interested more than ever.
Exactly.
It'd be very easy for you, for example, to say, hey, I offer a consulting service to help you go from 0 to 60 in your podcast, the equipment to buy, how to think about your guest, the way to structure it, where to publish, all the stuff that's really complex and technical you've solved. Someone else, it's overwhelming. But that's an example of something that's not, it's a non-obvious opportunity to be a consultant because it's, you're an aerospace guy, right? So that's your primary career.
Exactly.
So, but being a podcast advisor is a completely new business for you that could be flipped with a switch because you know how to do it.
Exactly, exactly. And now I can feel that what the struggle that I have had when I was starting this podcast, when I was doing about it, when I getting knowledge from each people, and now I can become the person who was giving the knowledge. Wow. That's really amazing. And you said about the coronavirus, and I feel that this condition is the worst. And you also have written something about the vulnerability in your blogs. And you said you are one step ahead to get a demolition in your life, maybe at some point of time. So now people, the thousands of people have already lost their job in this pandemic. And that's why my question is, how can we bounce back from this situation, and how can we manage to handle this worst situation ever in the world?
Right. Yeah. You know, I think this has been a big wake-up call for a lot of people. And I think one of the things that makes us vulnerable is to have a job that is totally focused on a local economy. So if you are in a situation where the only work you can find, the only work you think you can find, is if a local company is going to hire you, and something happens to the economy or something happens to those businesses where they close down, like a restaurant closes down, and you're like, well, now I can't find a job. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been trying to guide more and more people into the online world of remote work, because as you also seen, a ton of companies have transitioned to saying, we're going to have our employees working remotely. We're going to not only ask people to work at home for the rest of the year, next year, some have said forever. Shopify, for example, has said, our employees can work at home forever. We're going to be a remote company. And Automattic, which is, you know, the company that has WordPress, completely remote company. Basecamp, a completely remote company. So I think more and more companies have realized that having a physical office is a vulnerability, obviously. It's expensive, really expensive to have a physical office. They found out that now people are just as productive working remotely as they were in the office, in some cases more productive. They found this out. So they're like, we're going to stay with it. So that means more of the jobs that maybe you would have been not able to have a job with that company because you're like, I'm not going to relocate to California. You know, I'm not going to pay the expenses of moving to California. It's an expensive place to live. Well, now you don't have to. Now these companies are hiring remotely. So there are all kinds of resources like remote.co and a few others where you can go and look for jobs that are 100% remote. So I think that is a huge opportunity for people to say, hey, I may not be able to find a job locally, or something's happening with the current economy that's going on in the US, for example. I could take a job with a company that's based in Spain. They're looking for somebody to do QA testing. I can do that from my home. It's absolutely possible. So it's opened up an entire world of employment opportunities.
Wow. I think that created a lot of new impact on the world. And one more, another thing that I have seen while I was finding my job on LinkedIn, I have seen that option it popping up, and it's a remote. It's a completely remote. I have seen that. Oh my God. Yeah. So this was really amazing that the people have to think about their future, what can be happen and what I should have to do. And that you have said is very important thing. Like, as per my opinion, after every 10 year or 11 year, this kind of thing will happen, like the economy downwards. And that's why this is really a waking call for the people to make their career so profound and to think about how to manage this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the one thing that is certain, it will happen again. It's never going to be 100% smooth sailing. Something's going to happen again. So get ahead of it. Be prepared so you're absolutely flexible in how you do your work and where you work. And then you don't have to worry about it anymore.
That's really phenomenal. And I can get that that words that you have said, each and every single word impacted a lot on me, because I was learning something new. And the thing that I'm learning is really phenomenal. Why? By the way, I am learning is the experience of like 40 years that you have done in your life, and it's really amazing. So now we have a very amazing portion for the podcast, and it's like a rapid question answer session. I created this one because I want to share the people what the enormous or the phenomenal people are doing in their routine life. Okay, so The first question is, what is your morning routine?
Yeah, it's very consistent. So I tend to block off my entire morning. So it's meeting free. It's just for me. I get a cup of coffee, make a cup of coffee. I do some journaling. So I basically capture as many creative ideas as I can for 15 minutes or so. It's usually stuff about writing and about my business and things like that while my mind is clear and I'm not being interrupted. Okay. I might do a few quick things that I knew I need to put in motion for my business, but I don't spend that much time because I want to get to my workout, which is a big part of my morning routine. So I work out, 1 to 2 hours. Now I have time because I work at home and I've got the flexibility. So it's very important to me. My health is very important to me. So I work out. And then I'll, take a shower, have my first meal of the day, and then I get to work. But that's my morning routine.
Wow. Amazing. At the age of
54.
Wow. Yes. At the age of 54, you're doing consistently workout. And I have seen your videos.
Every day.
That's awesome. I'm a huge fan of that because it inspired to do workout every day for me as well.
Oh, good. Fantastic.
That's wonderful. Okay, so the second question is, as an entrepreneur, what is the most difficult task that you believe?
Oh, it's easily marketing on social media because I'm very introverted. I don't like social media. If I didn't run a business, I probably would never be on social media ever again. but it's definitely social media. That's probably the most challenging thing for me.
Okay, you mean to say social media marketing is really something that can hesitate you?
Yeah, I mean, it's important and it's good, but I don't like putting myself on video. I don't like taking photos of myself. And it's usually positive, but sometimes, as you know, it can be really negative. And
yes,
yeah, just those moments are not a lot of fun. So that's probably the most difficult for me.
I feel so. I believe so. So now the third question is, how much time you spend to sleep?
Again, it's very important. I spend at least 7 to 8 hours every night sleeping. I don't go without sleep. That's because it wrecks your entire day. You can't be creative if you're not getting enough sleep.
No, I totally understand it. And it's a scientifically proved that if you have a good sleep, then you can spend your day very efficiently, I can say.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what is your favorite book and author? This is very special to me.
It's like I've just been hooked on it for the last few years. It's Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Wow.
So it's awesome. Like, I love that book and I just love how pragmatic it is, but how much of a huge impact it can have on your life just to add the smallest habit to your daily life that gets you to a goal that you're trying to achieve. And I think that's how you do that. I think that's how you make a big change in your life, is adding a habit that you stick with every single day.
Yes. And the way he described how to do that habits is really phenomenal. And I love that way.
Yeah, it's great.
Wow. Book. Yeah. And the last question is, what is the ultimate goal of your life? And what is the way that you want to help the people in the world?
It's tied to what I'm doing right now, that it is so much about helping people find a way to make a living doing something that they're really good at doing and they enjoy doing. Because I think that's the biggest challenge is there something I'm really good at, but I also enjoy it? And can I make a living doing that? Because I think it changes everything. So that's my biggest goal, is I hope everybody can make a living doing something that they enjoy doing.
Wow. That is really amazing thing, because to get earning, to be happy and to be consistent at your work, you are not get anxious or bored or monotonous in your work. Yeah. That's the real way of living life.
It makes everybody be a better person. When they love what they do and they feel comfortable, they're kinder to everyone. I just think it changes the entire dynamic of how people act with each other.
This line is really for the quotation mark, because I feel that. I feel that when you love what you do, you will become a kind person to everyone around you.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I totally understand that. And it's an amazing way. So I understand this episode taught me a lot of things, a lot of stuff and the lesson and more to think about the work and job culture and how to proceed with that things in my life. And now we had a person who have spent his life as a designer, as a software designer, as a leader, as a researcher, CEO, director, and many other positions, and as a phenomenal, unparalleled career coach. His lifespan is the heritage of the lots of information, of the experience, and also the skills and the techniques that can help you in many other ways. I personally suggest you to go and see his website, his amazing thoughts on the Invincible Career and the Brilliant Forge. He writes amazingly. And also you can go to the Medium and find his articles. It will blow your mind that how he writes and what the impact that can happen in your life. I also personally suggest you to follow him on Instagram and Facebook so that you will get all of the inspiration and every single day like me that I am getting. So it was fabulous and it was amazing experience to talk with you, Larry. And I'm really speechless, but simultaneously, I have a lot of things to write down in my blog. And thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it too.
Thank you so much. So don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor. And you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Breaker, and also on YouTube. And if you like to read something about this episode, you can easily find the keynotes of the episode on our blog. You can get more information in the description, so please go and check it. So stay tuned with us to learn world's powerful techniques, strategies, skills, information to get the virtues of life.